And everybody, happy Tuesday. Hope everybody had a great day. Didn't seem like a Tuesday. I have no idea why it didn't seem like a Tuesday. I think I've been at home. I went back into the office today. Maybe that's why. Maybe I thought it was a Monday because it was the first day I've been in the office for a week working at home. You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ AM 101.3 FM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. Wednesday night, you're going to get Northern Iowa at Southern Illinois. Southern Illinois. I don't know what the is was for. That's a 6:30 pregame. Saturday, you are getting Creighton versus Villanova, Virginia versus North Carolina, and St. Mary's versus Gonzaga. And Sunday, you get Northern Iowa versus Belmont. That's 11 o'clock pregame. So a lot of basketball on again this week. Check that out. A couple of wins that you and I needs to pick up and to help continue to carry them on to the Missouri Valley tournament coming up and seeing how they can do. Looking forward to that. Also looking forward to talking about sponsors of the show. As always, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Des Moines Orthopedic Heritage Building Maintenance, and Palmer Group. I couldn't do this show without them, and I enjoy having them on. Zach Steenbach is going to come in at 5:21 today. I got a couple of other calls out today to see if they can do today or tomorrow. So we'll go through that. Just a quick, I have to do during the break, I'll tell you about this next segment. I have to do some math work and then tell you about the rest of the week here. Just it's inside joke that only I know, so that's not a very good joke. Oh my goodness, there's all kinds of sporting things going on. There's just been some crazy news today, and I don't even know where to start because it's been making my head spin all day long. I heard something just over the weekend, and I think actually Kentucky might be playing a little better. And I think North Carolina is playing a lot worse. But on Saturday, when I was listening to CBS in the morning, they were talking how one of the play-in games. Now, listen, folks, listen. Play-in game for the NCAA tournament could have been North Carolina and Kentucky. That is crazy because these play-in games have, I mean, they're set. I mean, where they're going to be played is set. And that's two of the biggest fan bases and two basketball teams that are not playing their best basketball. North Carolina for sure. I think since that's happened, I do not know if North Carolina can make the NCAA tournament, which is shocking. They started the year out at number one. That is a, for Hubert Davis, it's a learning curve, man. quick learning curve. So it'll be curious. In our next, these next 3 weeks, we have a lot of college basketball to be talking about, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And one of the reasons, before I get into what's happening tonight and tomorrow night, one of the reasons that I totally believe this is because if I go into right now, I'm gonna jump on here. I'm gonna go to the rankings, the men's college basketball, and it's pretty close here. They're splitting hairs between the AP and coaches poll. I'm going to take the AP because I don't think the coaches vote in the coaches poll, so I'd rather do the AP top 25 poll. And here's a really fun thing. I'm going to take Houston. They are number one team, and I'm going to take Texas A&M. They're the 25th team. I'm also going to take Oklahoma State, who is others receiving votes, and I'll even take Florida Atlantic. And I'm going to take those four teams, and I'm going to tell you on a neutral floor, not on their home court, not on whoever they're playing on their home court, a neutral court. I don't think there's that big a difference between Houston, Texas A&M, Florida Atlantic, and Oklahoma State. I've watched three of those four. I have not seen Florida Atlantic. I was taking them because they just dropped out of the rankings. On a neutral floor, I would not, if I'm any of these teams, and you have, I mean, I don't think I can ever remember a top 25 And if somebody can text me and yell at me, but I don't remember seeing a top 25 that has 1, 2, 3. I'm even going to go further than that. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I have 11 teams in the top 25 that have 7 or 8 or 9 losses. Watching NCAA basketball is crazy. And here's the fun thing. And it's extremely fun for our state if you enjoy watching. I hope that you enjoy watching all four teams. Drake basketball, if they continue how they're doing, they're in the Missouri Valley. Yes, they are in the Missouri Valley tournament. They're in the NCAA tournament, and I'm going to tell you right now that I would not want to play Drake with all the experience and shooting and just the way they play. I wouldn't want to play them. But I don't see a team on here, and we're going to get to the world of Alabama basketball here. If it's not in this first segment, it'll be in the second segment. And some of the stuff they're going through right now that I don't think they were thinking they were going to be going through, unless somebody kept a real, real lid on this. Listen, I watched that Kansas-Baylor team. Kansas is 22-5. Baylor's 20-7. Baylor totally dominated Kansas in that first half and then turned around and dominated Baylor. I don't even know how to describe it to somebody if I was out there. And Kansas does that. And then one of the hottest teams, because they're back now, they're going to need a couple of games, but now that they have all their players back, after doing that, Kansas goes to TCU and beats them 63-58. So they play Saturday midday, and then they play Monday night. It's how this is working out, and this is what I'm saying. Tell me that Houston or Alabama or Kansas or UCLA wants to face Creighton on a neutral floor. And I'm saying these things because, and I'm going to get back to it now. I apologize. I'm so giddy that it's this time of year. It's the best time of year to do. I mean, during college football and NFL, man, that's a great time. But basketball, you get NBA, you get a little bit of the NFL at the end. You still have all this stuff going on. I'm going to take the teams just in this state, the four major, men's and women's. I'm going to take Iowa State, Iowa, in both men's and women. And I'm going to compare them and contrast them on what you're going to see. If you're somebody and you're going into the NCAA tournament, and for Iowa and Iowa State both, it's those first games for teams like Iowa and Iowa State and hungry teams that are, you know, if you're a 5, you're playing a 12 seed. If you're a 6, you're playing an 11 seed. Is that right? No, if you're a 6, you're playing a 10th seed, excuse me. If you have to prepare for Iowa on a quick notice, I don't know how you defend them. Iowa's offense and the offense they run, and Fran McCaffrey is a magician on the offensive end. Too bad he can't be your offensive coordinator in football. You would be better off. They struggle at times when maybe they don't shoot well, or someone is a little bit better, or maybe throws a different kind of defense on them to slow them down. Sometimes they get in trouble because they can't defend. Now, you take that same thing and you 180 it, and you have the Iowa State Cyclones. The Iowa State Cyclones are going to make it impossible for you to score 70 points, no matter who you are. They're going to make it as hard as they can. Their problem's on the other end of the floor, and it's turnovers, and it had been three-point shooting. Now it's just shooting in general. The crazy thing is, if you could combine those two squads, right, you have, I mean, they have everything. I mean, you have really athletic defenders. You have great shooters. You have all that. both of them struggle when one part of the when their best part of their game, if they're not on, they struggle. And it's to both of them. When they're on their game and their offense for Iowa, their offense leads them and their defense picks up because how good their offense is playing, they get some turnovers, I don't think you can beat them. When Iowa State hits his first couple of shots and is still playing the tough defense and offensive rebounding and not turning the ball over as much as they have in the past, I don't think you can beat them because a lot of these teams have no idea what that is. It's a dogfight in the Big 12 to try to score points because the defenses are so good. The teams that are really good at it, listen, I think Kansas is the best team in the country, and Iowa State dominated them in Ames and almost won in Lawrence, which doesn't happen. On a team that's not good offensively. That's what we're looking at. I think Houston is well-coached and a great team. They struggle scoring sometimes. They struggle rebounding sometimes. Purdue is the same. They can go time without scoring. That's why I think there's so much parity. And it's not even parity of individual talent. It's parity on how they dissect the game. Because you have teams that can play defense and they're good three-point shooting. They have no inside strength. And they get beat up when they have to play somebody that has bigs. That's Purdue in the Big Ten. If you don't have a big that can stand up to Zach Edey, you're going to have a hard time beating Purdue. And a lot of teams struggle to beat Purdue. But then if you can control him, they don't have enough scoring in those other places. If you play a little bit of defense, you can beat Purdue, which has been done. They now have four losses. Flip over to the women's side. On the women's side, on Iowa's front, you have Caitlin Clark and you have Monica Shizano. And when those two are on and you're able, if you want to shut down and slow down, in the games that Iowa, the Hawkeye women have lost this year, it's because people have controls put on Monica and she's not scoring like she normally does. When they played Indiana, she had 4 points, 4 fouls. Now, when that rematch happens this weekend, you're going to see Iowa feed her, try to get the other team in foul trouble and see what happens. And then you have the outlier, which is Caitlin Clark, and I think for the University of Iowa Hawkeye women, what's going to change, and they get both Warnock's going to Dennis School. We talked about that yesterday. But they get Gabby Marshall, and the other one's going to click here in just a second. I apologize for that. They're getting both of them back, and you get Caitlin Clark back. I mean, that is a big, 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 big deal. Kate Martin. See, I told you. It takes me a second. But that's if Monica's hitting and Caitlin's hitting, then it makes those two even more. And Stolke running the floor. And, I mean, it's fun to watch. Now, you go to Iowa State women. What Iowa State women have to do, number one, they're going to struggle a little bit against bigs because they lost their big at the beginning of the year. They're going to struggle a little bit getting inside. I know Ashley Jones loves to shoot from outside. She's a really good inside player. They're going to have to try to do that more because they're going to take that away. If Iowa State shoots well and plays okay defense, they're going to go a long way in the NCAA tournament too. It's funny how that grouping of four has so many things in common. Sometimes it's just on the opposite side of the ball. When does Iowa have trouble? When they get out rebounded and or Monica gets in foul trouble, or they just have an off shooting night. And if Caitlin has an off shooting night, you know that's a difference between a lot of these stars that are in college women's basketball, and there's a ton of them. If I'm the WNBA, I heard this the other day with the WNBA, they're like looking at getting bigger 5 years down the road. 5 years down the road might be too late. You have a crop of people getting ready to come into the WNBA that they haven't seen in the last 5, 6, 7 years. I mean, you're trying to find players that they can draft. There's a group of players getting ready to make themselves known out there that is if the WNBA is ever going to make it, this is when they're going to make it, because that group, this group that's there right now, and I think Aleah Boston's in her fourth or fifth year, Caitlin in her third, getting ready for her fourth. I assume she will play her fifth, because with what you can do with name, image, likeness, maybe jumping too early, you can stay and you can have fun. She's having fun. She's connecting with all these young fans and bringing that in, and that's what's going to happen, right? The Diana Taurasis and the Sue Birds and all that bring you Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers, all these Haley Jones, all these gals, Ashley Jones. That's what then this group is going to even make that group double the size, and then you're hoping that that group will then triple the size, and then you have that. But we have a special time in this state right now where we have Iowa men, Iowa women, Iowa State men, Iowa State women all going to make the tournament. Drake, I cannot fathom that they don't. And it's not like the Drake women or UNI women or the UNI men can't make a surprise. I think Drake's in even if they don't win the Missouri Valley, because there's so many teams with so many losses that aren't any better or worse, and they don't have wins any better or worse. It's going to be so much fun, because if you're a 1 and you're playing a 16, even if that 16's in a play-in, there could be past NCAA champions in the play-in games. There's not going to be an easy game. 116's not going to be an easy game. It's going to be fun. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. Some bad news in NCAA basketball.
On sports, join the conversation on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Tuesday. Wow, had to get that one quick. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. Tomorrow night, you're going to get Northern Iowa at Southern Illinois, 6:30 pregame. And this segment is going to be brought to you by Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can bank on, taking care of your personal, business, mortgage, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever you have your phone in your hand. Also, take advantage of applying online for loans from Northwest Bank. You also can go in and see all of the great employees at all their locations. Once again, don't wait and open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can count on. Member FDIC. Okay. I told you I was going to tell you a scary story, and you kind of every once in a while just take a step back and go, I saw this, it posted three or four times today, and I kept checking, and nobody, you know, it was people that I trust on social media that break stories, and I finally kind of went and said, okay, you're going to have to talk about stuff like this. Police in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, where a former teammate, Darius Miles, who is one of two men charged with murder in the killing of Jama Jonae Harris. And this is, I think that was, it doesn't say a date on when this originally happened, but it's a couple of weeks, maybe a little bit more, but not more than a month. Well, today, some of this stuff started breaking, different things. And one of the things that broke was that Alabama star, Brandon Miller, allegedly provided the handgun to Darius Miles that was used in the shooting. I mean, that's a little topsy-turvy, folks. Not things that you tend to think about in NCAA sports. Sometimes I think we're a little naive to think that some of these things may not be out there or going on. And I you know, they're kind of keeping it pretty hush hush right now, but Brandon Miller is a really good player. Nate Oates is the coach of the Crimson Tide. And it says in here, as of right now, that Miller has not been charged. And Crimson Tide coach Nate Oates later said that the program had been aware of Miller's alleged link to the case. And Oates said that the program has been fully cooperating with law enforcement the entire time. Whole situation is sad. We knew about that. And this is should have stopped. Said, hey, you can't control everything anybody does outside of practice. Nobody knew that was going to happen. Brandon hasn't been in any type of trouble, nor is he any type of trouble in this case. Nor is he in any type of wrong spot at the wrong time. Miller is the leading scorer for the second-ranked Crimson Tide, averaging 18.7 points and 8 rebounds per game. Nate Oates didn't do his basketball player any favors. I'm going to read this one more time. And maybe it's just me. I just think it sounds really bad. Oates said Tuesday the program has been fully cooperating with law enforcement the entire time, and the whole situation is sad. Yes, someone lost their life. It's sad. We knew about that when asked about Miller allegedly bringing the gun to Miles. We can't control everything anybody does outside of practice. Nobody knew that was going to happen. Brandon hasn't been in any type of trouble, nor is he in any type of trouble in this case. Wrong spot at the wrong time. Okay, you have to have trust in your, if it was my son, if it was my basketball player, if it was my employee. Yes, you cannot control things at all times. You would hope that you have had enough talking and training and stuff that people should know that if someone asks you to go get a gun that they want to use in a crime, don't do it. The only reason this young, now it doesn't mean that bad guys can't go find other, you know, Darius Miles could have found another gun. He asked somebody that was in this group, number one, there's a big, you know, black mark as well. You're in that group to go get a gun because they wanted to do harm to someone. It's an interesting thing. I don't know what the SEC can do. It doesn't seem like Alabama's going to do anything. My social media is out there. Tell me if I'm right or wrong. I mean, I don't understand how you, I guess I don't understand how somebody that was that allegedly, and I don't know where, either he did or he didn't. Either the gun came from him, he went back and got the gun because he knew where the gun was or something. I don't know what the allegedly part is. But having something happen like that and hanging with the individuals that did that and, I'm sorry, accessorizing, that gets nothing? I mean, we punish kids in the NCAA for a lot of things. And a lot of things that I scratch my head and go, are you kidding me? And one of the reasons I always say that, okay, these are young men. We're trying to build them into adults. They know the difference between right and wrong, and we need to help grow them. They don't just come to these universities. You don't just coach because you love basketball. You coach because you want to make them the best individual, best man or woman that they can be. I tried to do that in eighth grade basketball. The fact that I still have a lot of my eighth grade basketball kids come up and talk to me, I think we did a pretty darn good job. But as a coach, wrong place at the wrong time. He wrong placed because he was there. And then he really wrong placed by going and getting something that was used to murder somebody. That's not wrong place at the wrong time. That's hanging out with the wrong people. And you can't do that. Now, there's going to be more stuff come out. Maybe, I mean, listen, if I'm an 18, 19, 20-year-old and I had nothing to do with anything that they're talking about, I'd be shouting from the rooftop saying, it was not me. I did not do that. And I haven't seen one thing. If I'm Nate Oates, I'm not saying he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I'm saying my player, Brandon Miller, was not at that place and not at that time. That's a difficult thing. I mean, when it popped up, I'm like, are you kidding me? Listen, I understand that, you know, and football, much tougher. I mean, you have 72 kids on a football team. You have 14 kids on a basketball team. You got, I mean, I'll just take it because I get to see it and I get to listen to some of it because I know some people that work with the program. You have four coaches and a lot of other students that have specific jobs that they do. You have some time to watch 14 kids and making sure 14 kids are doing what 14 kids are supposed to be doing. Now, is it always possible to do that? Absolutely not. I totally agree with that. You cannot keep on. I remember when I was 18, I remember when I was 14, 15. But you can't be the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide and say, he's not in trouble, he hasn't been in trouble, he's not in trouble now, wrong place at the wrong time. I think the family that lost a daughter probably doesn't agree with that. And I think it might go a little deeper than that. And you have to be held accountable. The coaching staff has to be held accountable. The player has to be held accountable. I don't know what else you do, but that is not a good situation. The other big thing today is still listening to people on who should be the college player of the year in women's basketball. And it was funny because they had the top Just Women's Sports. But if you don't follow Just Women's Sports, you need to. They do a really good job. The top three scorers in the NCAA Division I women's hoops are Caitlin Clark at 27.3, Kashana Washington at 27.7, and Maddie Segrist at 29.1. Drexel is not ranked. Villanova, I do believe that Villanova was ranked. They are ranked 15th in both polls. They're 23-5. And Maddie Segrist, who averages 29.1. So I went and I took Maddie because of that. She averages 29.1 and 9.2 rebounds. Alea Boston right now is the second leading scorer on South Carolina. She averages 13 points a game. She averages 9.9 rebounds and 1.9 blocks. Caitlin Clark averages 27.3 points, 7.5 assists, 8.3 rebounds. I could have them backwards there. She averages 1.6 steals, so almost two steals a game. And she averages a little over a half a block a game. So she has a block every other game. Stop. Stop telling me who is or is not the best player in college basketball. There's some extremely talented female athletes in the NCAA women's basketball. And it's going to be a fun, the ratings are going to be good. It's going to be fun to watch. I think you can have the same thing. I think any team can beat any other team at any point in time. I just don't know if it's as topsy-turvy as men's basketball is, because I still think the top 10 teams that sit here right now even if you want to take the top 15, South Carolina, Indiana, Stanford, UConn, LSU, Iowa, Maryland, Utah, Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, Duke, Michigan, Oklahoma, Arizona, and Villanova, I think any of those teams can win on any given day in the NCAA tournament. I flip that over and I look at men's and I'm like, if Creighton went to the Final Four, who's shocked? If TCU goes to the Final Four, I would say if Iowa State or Iowa go to the Final Four, I just don't like the side of the ball on both squads. I want Iowa to hold their opponents down more and get more rebounds, and I need Iowa State to be able to score on a consistent basis. I need them to do that consistently throughout the game and not go stretches. And the problem that Iowa State has men have right now is they'll go 2, 3, 4 possessions and not get a shot off. That's an issue because no matter what you think of, you know, what's more important, offense or defense, you have to score to win basketball games. Teams are too good. I see that same thing watching. I mean, I'm watching Iowa and Iowa State. I like their chances because somebody has to score 76 points to beat them. And there's not a lot of teams in college basketball, men or women, that average that type of points. And that's going to be the thing is I think it's more important in the NBA. I think it's more important in the NFL. I think it's more important in baseball. They have made all these rules and all these things that have made defense and low scoring and all of that so prevalent. I mean, NBA games used to be 128, 122. Now on a given day, it could be 94 to 86. College basketball scores used to be 84 to 76. You have a better chance now of it being 68 to 54. Women's basketball, a little bit better. But, I'm going out there again. I think this is going to be the best NCAA tournament in a long, long time because there's nobody going to be able to sit at a table and try to tell you that they know who the Final Four teams are going to be because I don't think they can do it. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Be right back. Welcome back in. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Last segment of this first hour already.
Wow.
You're listening to Steen on Sports. We bring you your sports your way every day. Try my best. Sometimes they're my sports, but I'm trying to be your sports as well. You can check us out on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ as well. Tomorrow night, Northern Iowa at Southern Illinois. All these games for Northern Iowa right now till the end of the season to get them in better, as good a seat as they can get in the Missouri Valley Tournament is good for them. This segment is going to be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company, provides designs, engineers, installs, programs, and services HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls for the entire state of Iowa. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. They're located in Ankeny, Iowa. Go to WoodmanControls.com and look for various high-end employment opportunities in development, project management, field or service technicians, and many more for an outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company. Okay, it's really funny sometimes that in the course of a day that my real job and my radio job collide. Today is one of those days because today as I'm driving from my offices in West Des Moines, I'm driving to the south side of Des Moines to take a look at a property that something was supposed to be dropped off and nobody can find it. So I thought, okay, I'll give it one more look. On my way, I'm driving down. I get off on 63rd Street. I'm almost all the way down to Railroad. And I look over and there are people running across yards, police officers running across yards, see them tackling a male and a female and very much not clothed very much and handcuffing them and making sure they're not moving. And I'm like, you know, you drive by and you go, wow, I wonder what they did. And then you come to radio and you're just kind of clicking around on social media because it's potpourri, right? It's the 45 segment. It's always a little potpourri, you know, that I can talk about anything. And I look at him and says, West Des Moines couple charged for man's neglect death. And that picture of that man and that woman are the exact man and woman that I saw today being arrested and thrown on the ground with very little clothing on. Like they were running in barefoot. And these guys were jumping over fences trying to catch them. It's kind of still snowy in places, and it's wet, and it's gross. And, yeah, I'm like, wow, okay, there they are. Interesting. It's like when my worlds collide. Here's an issue that I have with the Baltimore Orioles. And I have a hard time having this issue with the Baltimore Orioles because I have one of my son's friends is now a part of the Baltimore Orioles, and I had a couple other fathers of baseball players that are now fathers who have kids that are going through the Baltimore Orioles organization that I really respect. And today, John Angelos, who is the Baltimore Orioles CEO, said that at this point in time, we have says concerts at Camden Yards are more of a priority than the baseball team for the field. I'm like, what? See, that's the problem with baseball. And people like John Angelos, Peter Angelos' son, the reason that baseball kind of is spinning its wheels is because of him. Because they don't want to do what their other owners are doing or CEOs are doing, which is spending money and making a better product. My wife will tell you, because with her work going to Baltimore, she's gotten to go to Camden Yards and see a baseball game, a couple of baseball games. She says it's gorgeous, just gorgeous. That's what's wrong with baseball. It's not the haves that's wrong with baseball. It's the haves who act like they have not and pocket the haves, which is money. That's what's killing baseball. And we'll talk about it either in maybe we'll talk about it in this next segment. It is salary cap time for the NFL. So all these guys, and now I got to figure out the right name here. So give me just a second, but it's their cap. What they have for, oh my goodness. I hate when, see, I hit, cause I had that picture it's their salary cap and I'll figure it out. But They have the franchise tag. There we go. See, it hit me, right? Once again, I have no idea how my brain works anymore. There's a lot of people out there that need to be franchise tagged, and I'll have a grouping of them. Lamar Jackson's one, and there's two types of franchise tagging. You can franchise tag that no one, it's like exclusive franchise tag, and then there's a secondary franchise tag, and you can save some money by using the secondary franchise tag, but anybody who's franchise tagged, and in a certain amount of time, a team can go try to sign these players, and the cost is 2 first-round draft picks. Now, for some teams, that's a quick way to alleviate some of your cap space. But it's truly not what everybody wants to see. And I think that's some of the issues that's out there right now that they had to put these franchise tags in there because teams were losing players because of another team being able to offer even more. I mean, just exorbitant amount of money, which you can do in baseball, but you cannot do in the NFL. And because of a harder salary cap in baseball, your salary cap, you just get punished for being over the salary cap by paying money, which they must already have because they're paying players exorbitant amounts of money anyway. So not a deterrent to do what they're doing. It just makes the owners more money. I don't think it makes any of us happy. But Daniel Jones is another one. I think the New York Giants, after making the playoffs and under Brian Daboll, and here's the thing that's happening in a lot of these things as well. And in the NFL, this is why the NFL is just as popular in the off season with this free agency and franchise tagging, and then the draft. Almost you could say NFL's secondary season, all of this that's going on right now, is more popular than baseball and maybe the NBA right now. I don't know if it's more popular than college basketball, but it could be. But the New York Giants have a problem. They have Daniel Jones and they have Saquon Barkley. And every NFL executive is telling the New York Giants, you sign Daniel Jones and you franchise Saquon Barkley so you keep his. If you pay a running back $20 million, it doesn't work. And that's the sad part of being a running back. And the running back used to be the most highly paid position on the football team. It's been a couple of years ago, a few years ago. Now it's quarterbacks, defensive linemen, offensive tackles, safeties, a cover corner. You know, the running back is you know, eighth, ninth on that list. And you're looking for rookie running backs the best. I mean, Breece Hall for the New York Jets last year, I mean, you're paying him almost nothing. It's not nothing to all of us, but it's nothing within their salary structure. It's really funny. Right now, for the college basketball national championship, these are the new numbers that were out after this weekend. Houston is plus 650. Kansas is plus 800. Alabama plus 900. Purdue plus 1,000. Arizona plus 1,200. UConn plus 2,200. It's just a random thing there. I still don't know about Houston. My issue with Houston is, can they score enough? My question with Kansas is, what happens when a couple of guys have an off night? But Kansas is looking, except for the first half against Baylor, they're looking really good. Alabama, number one, you got to figure out if anything is going to come about what we just talked about the segment before. Purdue is the wild card. Can you get, will the NCAA referee differently than they do during the regular season? Can you get Zach Edey in foul trouble? Do they let Zach Edey do what he wants to do? Then Purdue is really tough to beat. And Purdue has a guard court that is not very experienced, that has been playing well. But if they have an off game, I don't know if they have enough to get through. I think Arizona is extremely talented, and I think they can go a long ways. But I can also see Arizona, UConn, Purdue, Alabama, and Houston to have off night scoring. That's why I think Kansas, if you're looking at this right now, I mean, I think Kansas has a really good shot of being that team. And I don't think anybody thought that at the beginning of the year. You're listening to Steen on Sports. You're listening to us live on 101.3, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Be back right after this break.